idea what sorts of infringements into our personal privacy will begin to manifest themselves. I mean, Walmart basically single-handedly kicked the RFID thing into high gear by demanding all of their vendors have RFID trackable pallets on all of the products that get shipped to the stores by a certain date. And that whole thing really pushed everything forward as far as the radio frequency identification chip technology and what they can do with these things. So it's vital that you understand that you may not always be, as a consumer, you may not always be cognizant of the different protocols in place to do stuff like this. So this is what I'm getting at, Grant, is that if you have taken yourself out of the system, like you're saying, then you have, in essence, been able to prevent anything like this. For example, if they match up the prepaid credit card I use with my face, they're going to, equate it to my business, which is Walmart sucks enterprises or something like that. You know what I mean? It keeps me out of the system. It keeps me out of the record and off the radar, and that's the way I would prefer it to be personally.
Right, and Walmart, of course, along with many, many supermarkets, use that technology, and it's very common in supermarkets for people to have a some kind of a discount card and have a name associated with that.
Yes.
If you don't even happen to have it on you, you can punch in a code or punch in your phone number. They like to use that a lot, and they'll give you a discount. Well, what they're doing is they're tracking your purchases.
That's
and that
exactly
in turn
right.
goes to their marketing people that make decisions on what to sell, and they also get a history and a profile of you. And so, you know, you're not hurting anybody if you give them a voicemail as a telephone number that goes to nowhere that you're not going to be bothered by, or if you give them an alternate name. You're just not hurting anybody. You're preserving your privacy, and let them do what they want to with your data that you're that they gather from your purchases.
Which hopefully is nothing, because they can never find you or send you mailings and give you specific phone calls to try to market products specifically to you. It's vital that we all do these things. So it's a perfect example. Grant, can I entice you to stay on a little bit and answer some calls?
Oh, sure. I'll stay on, sure.
You're very kind. Folks, I know you have questions. I know I certainly do. 800-313-9443. Toll-free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. Let's go to a guy with a great name, Frank, in West Virginia. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Frank.
How are you, sir?
You have a great name, too, I'll tell you.
Well, thank you.
Let me ask you, do you know what the word Frank means, the name Frank?
It depends on where it's derived from, I suppose.
Means at least good question as far as derivative, but it means a man of freedom.
Yes, my name is derived from Francis, which does mean free, from what I understand. So you're absolutely right. That's the basis for it. And regardless, I think obviously, you calling in on this particular topic to this particular show, apparently we're named appropriately.
Absolutely. One little side note on the Walmart thing. I went into a brand new Super Walmart and checked it out. Walking into the place, it reminded me of a movie, like some kind of scary or science fiction movie I saw a while ago, and I was trying to figure out what it was. It was so creepy. I just looked around, and there's these things just suspended from the ceiling on these long tentacles and with these globe-like eyes. And I suppose those were the cameras for surveillance.
Uh-huh.
But they're on these long, maybe 40-foot tentacles.
Uh-huh.
And I was thinking, what movie was this? What movie? And I was thinking, oh, yeah, War of the Worlds. Have you seen that with
yeah.
these creatures?
Yeah,
and they're like,
funny.
You know, looking around the corner and they show the close-ups and these really freakish-looking, like, eyeball-like camera things.
Yeah.
And anyhow,
well,
I had
yeah.
to have a laugh at that and get some humor out of it because it was really creepy.
it's a creepy design thing they've got going on there. And just to take the connection further, War of the Worlds had Tom Cruise. Tom Cruise was in Minority Report, a whole movie about trying. And here's a guy who's innocent, but yet they would see him thrown in jail. And again, completely different than what we're talking about here. But what we are talking about is the ability to put the clamp down on all these future technologies by removing yourself from the system now while you still can.
Yes. Yes, prevention. Isn't it always
right
a lot better to get an ounce of that rather than a pound of the
well
cure?
Said.
Well, I have a question for you, Mr. Hall. I appreciate you being on the show, and certainly worth staying up for. I wanted to asked concerning traveling. You know, some people, they travel in their car without driver's licenses. And that's been a big issue here in West Virginia, especially the national ID card coming up in 2008. I think May is the timeline they set. Actually, many states are using that already, just the driver's license as a national ID card. Mm-hmm. So a lot of people are just opting out and just not using a driver's license. However, there's still a problem with a car. There's a string attached. There's plenty of information.
Let me interrupt here, Frank. I apologize. If you can stay on through the break, though, I want to hear more. And ladies and gentlemen, very excited. Our guest, Grant Hall, has stayed on with us to answer some phone calls. We won't keep him too long, so if you want to jump in here now, 800-313-9443. Stay with us. Back with more Frankly Speaking Radio right after this.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.
I found this company online, and they had this really unique variety of salt wellness products. I read some of the articles and ended up ordering this beautiful salt lamp. According to the company, they said that the salt crystal lamps gently purify indoor air. I was so amazed. I put it in the baby's room. It made a perfect nightlight. Both my husband and I could tell the difference.
SoleWellness.com is a unique company that offers salt wellness products from around the world.
So, I went back to the site and ordered their Soleil Simple Natural Cleaning Products, also made with Himalayan salt. I figured it would clean really well. The natural cleaning products worked wonderfully, and there was no scent. This company has so many products my whole family can enjoy and feel better with. Plus, the service was great.
If you're interested in natural, homeopathic, time-tested remedies, visit SoleilWellness.com. That's S-O-L-A-Y Wellness.com. Or call 312-224-2710. 312-224-2710.
Did you hear about Joe Bannister, IRS Special Agent Criminal Investigator that quit the IRS a few years ago because the IRS failed to show him the law or legal authority for ordinary Americans like you and me to file and pay income tax?
What do you mean? Everyone knows that you have to file and pay income taxes.
Well, not only did the IRS fail to show Joe Bannister a law that requires you and me to file and pay income tax when Joe was working for the IRS, but even after Joe quit the IRS, the IRS failed to show up to several debates that the IRS was invited to debate Bannister about the legality of the income tax.
Wow, this is amazing information. Where can I find out more about this?
Go to the website at www.livefreenow.org. That's 760-868-4271. And the website is www.livefreenow.org.
Summer is again just around the corner, and as usual, so are higher gas prices. This year, stop taking on the chin and start fighting back. Ethos FR, a product tested and found worthy by NBC and Fox News, can save you up to 90% on fuel and reduce emissions by up to 30%. Unlike other products and gadgets you've seen advertised, Ethos FR attacks the source of the problem, unburned fuel. You see, exhaust is essentially unburned fuel that's expelled from your tailpipe. That equates to toxins being released into the environment and dollars being released from your wallet. But with Ethos FR, fuel burns more completely, helping your engine to deliver better mileage and helping you to save money. And it's so easy to use. Simply pour a couple of ounces into your tank at every fill-up, and you're on your way saving money and the environment. So, do yourself and the environment a favor and visit ctsavegas.com to get your bottle today. That's ctsavegas.com.
Good morning, good evening, my friends. Welcome back. You are listening to Tuesday's edition of Frankly Speaking Radio. It is April 17, 2007, about 9 minutes past 1 a.m. here as we, get our computer technical problems all worked out. Our breaks have been somewhat awkward times. But anyway, we are talking with our good friend Paul. He is the author of the book Privacy Crisis, available at privacycrisis.com by way of an e-book or the hardcover version. You can also pick it up used at Amazon.com, or you can order it via phone by calling Borders Bookstore and having it, them ship it to you at 702-433-6222, 702-433-6222. And we are taking your calls here with our guest, Grant Hall. Again, 800-313-9443. Let's get back to Grant. Grant, welcome.
Oh, thank you.
And thank you very much. I appreciate you hanging on. And back to caller Frank in West Virginia. Welcome back, sir.
Yes, I was wondering if you could cover something, Grant, concerning the issue of the car and traveling with and trying to be under the radar. I don't want a lot of confrontations. I don't want to spend a lot of days in jail and fighting court proceedings, mm-hmm. if possible. However, still that issue in which they tried to nail you on, and I just thinking of some different options. Maybe here's one I was thinking of. Maybe you could give me a better answer or solution. That is having a license plate from a different government within our own borders of America. What would you think about that?
Well, I think that's an academic question I'm prepared to answer, as is the same case with whether you're required to have a driver's license to travel or not. These are areas that require a lot of study that I am truly not an expert in. I think that with a foreign license plate, whether it's from a sovereign nation within the United States or something similar thereof, you're going to just draw attention to yourself. Here's my solution. I think you should use a state-issued driver's license and keep it locked in the car. I think you should only show that to law enforcement when they require it as you drive. Otherwise, show them a U.S. passport with a less privacy-invasive identification, but even it has more precedence than a driver's license. In regard to the registration of the automobile, keep in mind that the car is separate from you. My preferred registration of the automobile is to register it in the name of a trust of which you are trustee and make the decisions for the trust. You have the responsibilities for insurance and so forth, and you have to be underwritten as an individual. However, if you're careful and if you know how to do this, you can register it in the name of the trust with your Department of Motor Vehicles without having any association of yourself on the registration. This is a very tricky area. You do a search yourself, and you need to have the right paperwork as you go into the DMV. It's not a lot of work, but you just need to make certain that you have no record of yourself as an individual being on the registration of the car. That way, when somebody runs your license plates, they will not find you associated with the car. They'll find the trust only with a distant mail drop from where you're driving the car. And then the license also is not tied to car. When you register the car in the name of a trust, show them a U.S. passport to register it. You do not have to have a driver's license as you register the car when you're trustee of the trust.
Okay.
Some different options for you.
Yes, absolutely. Well,
is that
I'll get your
clear
book.
Because I know I kind of went pretty fast. There's a chapter on this in the book.
Great. Well, I'm looking forward to reading that. Well, I know you're limited on time. I'll better let you...
Did that answer your question?
I believe it does, and that's one of those things that would secure privacy. Certainly not necessarily ownership, as far as out of the state's ownership, and you know, being as a renter. Because isn't that exactly what they try to do? Is put the state as the was it the trustee when you turn in your certificate of. What's it called? You purchase your car. You turn that into
title.
The title, yes. Okay.
Well, the title will also just have the trust name on it. It won't have your name on it.
Mm-hmm.
You can scribble your signature on it when you have to sell the car, or when you have to, when you sign for the car. But the title should be identical to the registration. In other words, it will not have your name. It'll only have your the trust that you are trustee of. Mm-hmm. And the trust, that's a whole different area. I know it may be foreign to you, but it's just a paper document that has the entitlement to own property. It's really simple to do all of this. It's not complicated at all. Essentially, what you're doing is using a front entity to shield you and preserve privacy.
And it would still be possible to sell the car without too much
Oh, yeah, it's not a problem at all. All you
okay.
do is you have the you sign on behalf of the trust, but your name, you don't even have to print your name on there, as I recall, in the states that I've made the transactions in. And so all you do is you're signing on behalf of the trust, and you just have the power to do that per the paper document, and it's easily done.
Excellent.
Okay.
Well, thank you very much. Appreciate it. And looking forward
welcome.
To your book.
Thank you very much, Frank, and appreciate the call very, very much. Folks, again, the book available, several different options. PrivacyCrisis.com is the ebook. It also has the hardbound version. You can go to Amazon.com and try to pick it up used. You can also call and order by phone at 702-433-6222. Let's continue with our phone calls here in Arkansas. Welcome to the show.
Hello. How you doing, Frank?
Doing well. How are you?
Doing quite well. Actually,
good.
I know a lot of the same people you do. Although you may not be aware of that.
Oh, good.
The names, but I just want to call in for Frank in Virginia when he was talking about some of the things he was talking about. I understand about passport. He's probably talking trying to travel on that and so forth. And I know people that do that. But one of the things I was going to tell him also in place of a trust, we use a ministry or nonprofit organization. For their vehicles and so forth. So that's another option. But my question was to Grant, is it possible to obtain a U.S. passport in an alternate identity, or is that going to be considered fraud?
I would think that if you had assumed a particular name and if you were asked the question, have you ever used another name or is this a different name, and if you were truthful about that, you could, in fact, do what you're asking. I would never, ever defraud any government agency, and I would urge you not to do the same thing. In other words, if you have a true name and if you're applying for a passport, I would suggest that you find that you be truthful with them. However, if you do, in fact, change your name, I see no reason why you could not have all documents issued in your name that has been changed. There's really a number of ways that one can change their name. The most common way in the United States is to just assume that name. That means that it really is your name from this point forward. There's some other ways where you register it and this and that. It is not always necessary. If you have any questions about this, speak to a little advisor or an attorney in your particular jurisdiction. The main point I want to make is be truthful with your government as you apply for passports.
Okay. Well, I surely appreciate your information. Thank you so much.
Thanks a lot,
You're
Ray.
Welcome.
I appreciate the call very much so. Folks, this is, again, it's about empowering yourself, and I think that it is very, very important that we understand, again, not just the options available to us, but also be aware of the implications of doing nothing, because we've covered quite a few sort of scenarios here tonight, Grant, and these are all different things that people need to be aware of. And in this book, I've read a lux. Ray's mentioned that we know some of the same people. We probably have read some of the same books as well. And this, in my opinion, is the greatest book I have read on this issue. And I've read definitely, you know, a good amount. So, Grant, I appreciate you so much, my friend. Thank you for all the time you've given us here tonight, and I hope we'll speak again on Monday, a week from today, correct?
Yes, we'll be there.
All right. Grant, thank you so much, sir. I appreciate it. Ladies and gentlemen, Grant Hall, author of the book Privacy Crisis. Stay with us.
Wow, that coffee smells really good.
Hey, it's terrific, and it's healthy.
Healthy coffee. How does it taste?
Well, healthy coffee blends are pre-brewed from organic Arabica beans. They're delicious.
Gosh, I had no idea coffee could be healthy.
Yeah, this coffee boosts your immunity, has 165 antioxidants for all kinds of health benefits. Plus, it gives you energy without a lot of caffeine. And since you're a big coffee drinker, I thought, well, maybe you'd want to know about it.
It sounds great, but how much does it cost?
Well, not much at all, really. A whole lot less than we've been paying for ordinary coffee at the coffee shop.
Oh, I'd love to try it, and I bet everyone at the office would, too. Where do I get some?
Just call toll-free, 66-222-3017, or you can go to coffeeking.biz. Ask for a sample when you're there or get set up as a preferred customer with a 25% discount. I did.
Okay, that's toll-free 866-222-3017 or king.biz. I'll do it now. Thanks.
Have you heard of a privacy crisis? Odds are you're already immersed in one. The U.S. government is now legally tapping phones, monitoring emails, tracking purchases, and seizing property in record numbers. Banks are demanding invasive personal information for even the smallest transaction. Unfortunately, stalkers looking to harm you or your financial situation are using the same methods. So how can you protect yourself, your loved ones, and all that you own? Well, the first step is to purchase the most important how-to book you'll ever read. It's called Privacy Crisis by author Grant Hall. In minutes, you'll know the method yourself has used and advised others about in order to bank anonymously, open a safety deposit, a box without a social security number. With Privacy Crisis, you'll discover how to avoid judgments, seal your credit files airtight, drop off the radar, and virtually disappear from those looking to cause you injury. The ebook and hardcover versions are available at www.privacycrisis.com. Grant Hall's Privacy Crisis contains information and legal methods the powers that be don't want you to know. Travel, bank, work, and live anonymously, live free. You can also order Privacy Crisis by telephone. Call 702-433-6222.
Since 1988, Herbal Healer Academy has been the global supplier of the finest natural medicines. We specialize in keeping you alive and healthy. Provide outstanding products like ECX, colloidal silver, olive leaf extract, oregano oil, and hundreds of herbals, oils, books, and educational materials. We have homeopathic detox solutions for chemtrails, radiation, MSG, and aspartame poisoning. We also train naturopathic healers via correspondence education. Why wait any longer? Go ahead and do it today. Sign up on the web and receive our new 120-page catalog and a current Herbal Healer newsletter free. Simply log on to herbalhealer.com and check out the on-member testimonials and our hundreds of exceptional products. That's herbalhealer.com, your website for safe, effective, natural alternatives and education. That's herbalhealer.com.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. Thrilled you're on board with us tonight. Phone number 800-313-9443. Toll free worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. We're going to go and finish up this new segment we began at the beginning of the program, talking about the school shooting at Virginia Tech earlier today, or technically yesterday. Very, very important information. We've covered a great deal of it already, and we continue. This is simply an ABC News, but again, it highlights how the administrative side of this whole thing is really falling apart. Again, today, a tranquil college campus in Virginia became a killing field Monday morning. At least 33 people are dead in the worst mass shooting in modern America. Police at Virginia Tech in Blacksburg, Virginia, said that the shootings happened at a dormitory and then at a classroom on opposite sides of the university campus. Some students are questioning why administrators did not stop classes after the first shooting and why it took more than 2 hours to inform the university community via email about the shooting. My question is, why email? Again, you know, and I know it's a tech, and I understand people are tech savvy, and one of the things that the news commentators were discussing today on the mainstream news It's yes. Children have all sorts of access to email. They have it on their phones. They have it on their Blackberries, on their computers, and so on and so forth. What about the one kid who doesn't, like me? Right? I mean, I have email because I have to. And that's really the only reason. I suppose I probably would have an email account, but it would be very, very infrequently used. I just don't care for that method of communication at all. I don't like to type. And then I start going and having to read an email four or five times before I actually hit send because I'm like, because there's one thing I can't stand is when people send emails and everything's either, like in the chat rooms where they shorten the words and they have different versions of things and smiley faces and curve placed in different directions to make little frowny faces and stupid things like that. I just don't like it. But the point is that I was in college 10 years ago. Was it 10 years ago? No, about. Anyway, the point is when I was in college, these things were not as common as they are now. I don't remember anybody having a cell phone in college. But anyway, immaterial. The point is that in this day and age, I still don't have these things. I don't have a cell phone. I don't have a PDA. I don't have a BlackBerry. I don't even really check my email that often, mostly because I just get tired of the hassle of logging on and kidding. And I've had a lot of internet problems lately. So the point is that Frank Whalen, a student at Virginia Tech, would have been the one guy going, "Why is the store locked? I need to get to class. What's that popping sound?" I would have been completely out of the loop. So there's a very, very grave assumption at work here that everybody has email. Now, again, first of all, they said they were investigating a previous shooting 2 hours earlier. By the time the email got out, the second shooting was already taking place. This is a real problem. It goes on. According to Dr. Charles Steger, president of Virginia Tech, the administration locked down Ambler Johnson Hall dormitory after the first shooting, but classes were not canceled because it was believed to be a domestic dispute and campus police thought that the shooter had left the campus. Why would they think that? Well, campus police believe that the shooter has left the campus. What makes you so sure of that? I mean, campus security obviously didn't know he was going to bring a gun in the first place, so why would they be right with the second assumption when the first assumption was so glaringly inaccurate? This, to me, is a big issue. And, of course, Bush weighed in, saying, quote, "Schools should be places of safety and sanctuary and learning. When that sanctuary is violated, the impact is felt in every American classroom and every American community," end quote. Well, that's great. Thanks, Mr. President. How many college-age kids have you facilitated in their deaths this week? Enforcement officials tell ABC News they believe there is a single gunman firing at least two 9mm semi-automatic pistols, said he may have been wearing a bulletproof vest, and that he killed himself after opening fire on his victims. Apparently it was not bulletproof, just simply an ammo hunting vest of sorts. No identification was found on the gunman's body, police said. Eyewitnesses describe him as an Asian male about 6 feet tall. He apparently shot himself in the head after the killings. Part of his face was missing when his body was found, hence the fact that they have had a hard time identifying him. Virginia Tech Police Chief Wendell Flincham said the first shooting took place just after 7 a.m. in West Ambler Johnson Hall, a co-ed dormitory that houses 895 students. Two people were shot in the dorm room, according to police. The first emergency call to police came at 7:15 a.m. Police were investigating the first shooting when more shots were fired at Norris Hall, an academic building across campus, at 9:15 a.m. At least 31 people, said the university president, died there, including the gunman, and it's their fault. Oh, I know you can go ahead and say it was the gunman's fault, or you could say it was the fact that somebody made guns or whatever the case may be. But the point is that there is a situation that's developing. Situations can always be worse. I was under the impression that schools always erred on the side of caution. Maybe it's just elementary schools because we're talking about younger kids. Maybe they figure university level, who cares? But remember, on September 11th, The sort of messages that went out, nothing to fear here, go back to your offices, go back to your cubicles. Yes, a plane hit the building, but there's nothing to worry about. Well, those who paid attention to that advice probably didn't walk away from that building. And the people who made the right judgment call, thought for themselves, did. Stay with us. Back in three.
Businesses and their employees are facing constant increases in group medical insurance premiums. Employees are shouldering more of the burden themselves. Core Documents, the nation's primary source for affordable medical plan documents, has the answer. A health reimbursement arrangement, or HRA. Business owners, managers, find out now how your company can utilize a much higher deductible health insurance policy and establish an HRA to fund low deductibles for your employees. And employees, tell the boss to visit CoreDocuments.com now. This new HRA plan can save you thousands of of dollars.
Employers all over the country are discovering how to roll back insurance costs using Core Documents HRA concept. Core Documents is the nation's primary source for affordable plan documents required by IRS and Department of Labor for Section 125 and HRA plans. Use your insurance agent and let Core Documents help you with plan design. Do a Google search for Core Documents or see us at coredocuments.com. That's Core, C-O-R-E, documents, plural, .com.
In Matthew 24, the disciples asked Jesus, "What shall be the signs of thy coming and the end of the world?" Jesus answered them, "You shall hear of wars and rumors of wars. For nation shall rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there shall be famines, diseases, earthquakes in many places. Fellow Americans, we are living in this time of Earth's history. People everywhere are trying to understand these climatic world events in light of wisdom, but without the wisdom of God, this is impossible. Our ministry would like to offer information on the Mark of the Beast and the Unholy Alliance. It includes four books and several DVDs for your information. It discusses America in prophecy, the Antichrist, tyrants and wars, secret societies, the New World Order, and much more. So to prepare for what is coming on the world as an overwhelming surprise, call for your free materials. Get F. 888-211-1715. Again, 888-211-1715.
How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves. They'll give you an independence you need to cook and bake your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are like grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers, 12 and 24-volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at the lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
People who use Cardivite know about the pollutants in our body and want them out. For over 5 years, Cardivite has proven itself time-tested. Here's Dr. Matson, a naturopathic doctor's thoughts on Cardivite.
In our mind, it's not such a great big mystery to disease anymore. This basic tenet of yeast in the gut and metals in the liver covers at least 70-80% of the diseases that we see. When we do our program, you know, herbal formulas like Cardivite, and you see some could barely walk up a hill now going for regular jogs. Few months later, we know we're doing something right. It's a well-thought-out formula. I mean, the idea of it working on yeast and metals both at the same time and liver function is dead on. You'll find, I think, that it'll work more than just on heart problems and circulation problems. It'll work on other problems as well.
For more information, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit our link at rbnlive.com. That toll-free number again, 1-877-928-8822.
Welcome back, folks. Glad you're here. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio. I am your host, Frank Whalen. It's Tuesday morning, and I'd like to, of course, announce this. This hour being brought to you by our good friends at Howard Creek Resort. They have 9 fully equipped individual housing cabins and easy access to all the fun things in the whole area, including, of course, Branson, Missouri, and Bull Shoals Lake in Arkansas. Absolutely stunningly beautiful, especially in the fall, but all part here. It's actually just wonderful. It's the perfect family vacation spot and also get for family reunions and things like that. Very, very popular. Visit them on the web at www.howardcreek.com or call them toll-free at 877-253-7690. Now, they also offer one-night rentals, which is a complete and total departure from every other resort in Arkansas from what I've seen thus far. So if you're passing through, I urge you to consider them, even if you're not planning an extended vacation, certainly one night. of beautiful and peaceful relaxation will be well worth it for you. Our phone number tonight is 800-313-9443, toll-free and worldwide, 1-800-313-9443. You may want to talk about this with me, of course, the school shootings and all the implications of this. So, again, very, very interesting stuff talking about the what has happened with this with the school shooting and looking at the just the botched job by the part of school officials, administration officials, and campus security, who's supposed to be, you know, these campus police in particular are supposed to be very, very good guys on top of things. Anyway, so again, they sent out the email that they were investigating shooting as the second one was taking place. It's not clear what happened between the two shootings, a gap of about 2 hours. The buildings where they happened are also half a mile apart, a distance that one can walk in 10 minutes. So this guy presumably went home, I would think. I don't think he's just hanging around on campus because, you know, they were looking for him. So the first email to students about the first shooting went out at 9:24 a.m., according to copies forwarded by ABC News. By then, the shootings were all over. So the second shooting had completely finished by the time they sent emails out saying they're investigating the first one. Bizarre. Absolutely bizarre. So, again, the second shooting happened at 9:15. The email went out at 9:24. Almost 10 minutes later, the second was over at that point. Goes on, the campus web system was quickly overwhelmed by email traffic and concerned online visitors after news of the shooting broke. Students said they could not get on Virginia Tech's site for information. ABC News has confirmed there were two separate bomb threats last week at Virginia Tech. The first was directed at Torgerson Hall, a classroom and laboratory building, while the second was directed at multiple engineering buildings. So this is interesting. I wonder exactly, you know, what stemmed that whole thing. I mean, obviously the idea is that they weren't connected. That's what they're going with now, although you could very easily see that theoretically the previous stories we had read that said that these may have been attempts to gauge the response of campus security would have certainly given this guy idea. So that makes it extraordinarily premeditated. You know what I mean? It's obviously premeditated because he had two guns with him and a lot of ammunition. But that he brought chains and locks with him to lock these doors from the inside while he was doing the shooting, even more premeditated. And if you tie him into the bomb threat as well, it's just abysmal security responses on the part of this university. And I'm not saying that any other university would have been different. It's just it's important that we understand these things. It goes on. Virginia Tech, formerly known as Virginia Polytechnic Institute and State University. It's located in the western end of the state near the borders of West Virginia and Tennessee. It has more than 25,000 full-time students. Its campus, which spreads out over 2,600 acres, has more than 100 buildings. The number of dead is almost twice as high as the previous record for a mass shooting on an American college campus that took place at the University of Texas in Austin, August 1, 1966, when a gunman named Charles Whitman opened fire from the 28th floor of a campus tower. He killed 16 and injured 31. So it's the new record, which means what? Well, that it's going to be sourced and cited in all aspects in conjunction with making these things topic-worthy for the politicians and whatnot. Here's a different version, local6.com today. Doors inside one of the halls where the bulk of Monday's massacre at Virginia Tech occurred were chained from the inside, according to Police Chief Wendell Fitchum. A gunman opened fire at Virginia Tech dorm, and then 2 hours later shot up a classroom across campus on Monday, killing 33 people in the deadliest shooting rampage in U.S. history, again mentioned there. After the shooting, a student told the gunman entered the second building, chained the doors closed, and began shooting into each classroom, according to a newspaper report. That claim has not been confirmed. Students complained that there were no public address announcements or other warnings on campus after the first burst of gunfire. They said the first word they received from the university was an email more than 2 hours into the rampage, around the time the second struck again. As we've previously stated, it was obviously after the fact. We also mentioned in the first, you missed that, that not only were the police tackling and handcuffing people as they ran out for their lives, they also, when they went into the building, they instructed any room full of students, hands above their heads, or they would be shot. That's from an eyewitness account. It's quoted. Virginia Tech President Charles Steger said authorities believed that the shooting at the dorm was a domestic dispute and mistakenly thought the gunman had fled the campus. Gosh, you think? He said, quote, "We had no reason to suspect any other incident was going to occur." You didn't? How about the fact that an incident that day? How about the fact that you had multiple bomb threats, 3 in 5 days last week? How about the fact that you had a shooting on campus, what, a year ago? Something like that? I'll get to that. How about the fact that you did a drill specifically for this thing in the last year as well? had no reason to suspect any other incident was going to occur. Somebody's going to be scapegoated for this big time. Anyway, President Steger defended the university's handling of the tragedy, saying, quote, "We can only make decisions based on the information you had at the time. You don't have hours to reflect on it," end quote. All right. Raise of hands. Anybody who thinks they handled it properly? Oh, guess what? I see no hands. Never mind. I know it's radio. Investigators offered no motive for the attack. The gunman's name was not immediately released, and it was not known if he was a student. The shooting spread panic and confusion on campus. Witnesses reported students jumping out of windows of a classroom building to escape the fire. SWAT team members with helmets, flak jackets, and assault rifles swarmed over the campus and did nothing. Okay, say that. That's my addition. Students and faculty members carried out some of the wounded themselves without waiting for ambulances to arrive. It's very much Columbine. You remember Columbine, they didn't go in either. So the protect and serve thing is simply a motto. It's not anything to adhere to. It's a general idea. Like, yeah, most of the time we might protect and serve, but only when it suits us to do so. Steger said the university decided to rely on email and other electronic means of notifying members of the university, but with 11,000 people driving on campus first thing in the morning, it was difficult to get the word out. He said that before the email went out, the university began telephoning resident advisors in the dorms to notify them and send people to knock on doors and spread the word. I thought they had this campus security. I don't know how many people are members of the campus police force, but I have to think it's more than like one or two. You know, wake those guys up, get them in, pay for some overtime, and lock down the campus. What's the problem here? Some students bitterly questioned why Gumma was able to strike a second time, said student Jason Piot on CNN. Quote, "What happened today was just ridiculous. While they send out that email, 20 more people killed," end quote. Students Laura Whedon, a student programs manager at Virginia Tech, said the first notification they got of the shootings came in an email at 9:26, more than 2 hours after the first shooting. The email had a few details saying, quote, "A shooting incident at West Amber Johnson earlier this morning. Police are on scene and are investigating," end quote. The message warned students to be cautious and contact police about anything suspicious. Here's another incident. Perfect example. Say that a police officer has pulled you over for speeding right in front of a mini mart, a little convenience store. And let's say that convenience store is getting robbed. Like, you know, the guy walks in there, he shoots the clerk or shoots at the clerk or something like that. What do you think the police officer is going to do most of the time? Well, probably you would think, best case scenario, he was going to go and try to apprehend the more flagrant violator of the law. This email says at 9:26, police are on scene. So it's not just campus police anymore. It's the real deal police, no rent-a-cops. The real cops were already on campus, again, a 10-minute walk away from where the shootings were happening. Why didn't they go in? So, all right, anyway. It goes, student Maurice Hiller said he went to a 9 a.m. class 2 buildings away from the entering building. No warnings were coming over the outdoor public address system on campus at the time. No public warnings. Like I said, the only time I heard that there were warnings were in university staff members saying that this was the case. I have not heard of anybody saying they've heard one who wasn't an employee of the university. The massacre Monday took place almost 8 years the day. The Columbine High bloodbath near Littleton, Colorado. On April 20th, 1999, two teenagers, 12 fellow students, and a teacher before taking their own lives. And it goes on. A White House spokesman said President Bush was horrified by the rampage and offered his prayers to the victims and the people of Virginia through spokeswoman Dana Perino. Quote, "The president believes that there is a right for people to bear arms, but that all laws must be followed," end quote. So he's saying, yes, you have a right, but there need to be laws. We don't know exactly where those laws are going to go, and he certainly has sort of set the stage to say, yes, people can bear arms, but who? Which people? That's the real question, isn't it? It goes on. Here's the important point. It was the second time in less than a year that the campus was closed because of a shooting. Last August, the opening day of class was canceled and campus was closed when an escaped jail inmate allegedly killed a hospital guard office and fled to the tech area. A sheriff's deputy involved in the manhunt was killed on a trail just off campus. The accused gunman, William Morva, faces capital murder charges. So that happened less than a year ago. It was, a deputy was killed right off campus. A hospital guard was killed or something like that before the guy could flee to the campus. That was the first day of school. Shut down completely. And here you've got two people killed, and they say no classes are canceled. The dormitory itself was locked down, probably just so they wouldn't have to deal with a lot of students asking questions, people crying in the hallways, and so on and so forth. This thing was just handled abysmally from start to finish. Now, I mentioned to you at the beginning of the show there was a blog that came out today entitled Guns Don't Kill, But They Make Killers More Efficient. And this guy pleading the case for gun control, and then, of course, the responses were the ones that, that really intrigued me about this story. The 15 pages of responses, people making various comments. I've read some. I'll read more. But I want to know what you think. 800-313-9443, toll-free worldwide, 1-800-313-943. We are in a virtual presidential campaign already, so this is going to be a big issue, folks, especially come tomorrow. I think there are going to be more and more comments brought out about this. Let's see what you think. Keith in Michigan, welcome to the show.
Hello.
Yes, sir.
Oh, Frank, good to talk to you again.
Yeah, you too.
I got a few comments on this slaughter that's perpetrated here in Virginia, and that's unbelievable. Anyway, you know, it's the wrong-headed thinking of the politicians and powers that be that allow things like this to be able to happen. If they would allow their American people to exercise their Second Amendment right, you'd at least have a sporting chance. But don't think for a minute that Dianne Feinstein and little Chuckie Schumer are jumping up and down and rubbing their hands. They're just, now we can put in some more gun controls. And, it, you know, if you stop and think about it, if you believe that those two planes were hijacked and blown into the towers, had the pilots and the crew been armed with those Glacier bullets, they create a tremendous wound channel.
Mm-hmm.
They wouldn't go through the plane. But they could have taken that guy out, those guys out in a hurry. If people were armed, and we wouldn't be war right now had the pilots and crew been able to take care of those so-called terrorists or whatever they want to call them.
Mm-hmm.
It's the wrong thinking of politicians that creates these problems. If the American people, I mean, we would have never got out west if the settlers traveling across the plains hadn't been armed. And even though we've advanced technically great strides since then, you've still got wild animals in this world. If you've got a mad dog running around your neighborhood, you got to knock him off before he bites some little kid.
Oh, yeah.
And all we're doing now, you can make all the laws you want,
mm-hmm.
but nobody, you know, this kid was probably jealous and then teed off at his grade, and he just took it out on everybody. And it was the nincompoop people that run the railroad that allowed this thing to get out of hand, it did.
Yes.
Totally idiotic.
It's crazy, and as far as warning signs go, you know, you mentioned about September 11th. There were a lot of accounts that came out, obviously, in the aftermath that indicate that we were given advance warning that something was going to occur, given a great deal of information as far as the methods, as far as even the time, the place, the date. All of these things have come out already in the media. So, yeah, it begs the question. And that's, I think, why so many of us are demanding the truth. We're demanding answers because the official version does not hold up with the addendum of information that's come out in the aftermath. So this is the exact same kind of situation. I applaud you for making the connection. Here you've got a school that just recently had a shooting on campus, near campus, or within a very close vicinity of it, in which the whole thing was shut down and classes were canceled. Well, here's an incident where there were two murders of students on campus, and they did nothing, including alert anyone, until 2 hours after the fact. Now, this, to me, smells of a cover-up, you know, to the point of saying that had the second incident not occurred, they probably would have got away with it, you know, releasing the information out late and saying, yes, everything was taken care of. We had everybody's best interest at heart, and the students were never compromised in their own personal security. That's what they would have said had this thing just been an incident, just those two people. But because it developed and expanded into a now historic shooting of historic proportions, now, of course, there will be people who get scapegoated, and hopefully the right people are going to go down for this. But at the same time, I do think it's going to be utilized in a lot of different ways to facilitate more laws. But like you had said, and like we had stated earlier, this guy was on a student visa from China, if he's the same person they suspect him to be, indicating that he would not have been authorized to legally purchase guns anyway. So there's no connection there between the legality of owning guns and the utilization of guns, is what I'm saying.
Well, it doesn't really make any difference whether they bought them legally or illegally. But an American citizen, all the paperwork you have to go through to own a weapon, why would they? Would a foreigner, Indian, come to this country and what need would he have? Mm-hmm. And make it as difficult as again for a citizen to have a weapon.
Sure, exactly. Again, there's a lot of different ways this could go in the future. Keith, if you have more, you're welcome to stay on with us, folks. We're back after this short break with more Frankly Speaking Radio.
In the United States, it is now estimated that over 90% of family income is now being used to pay back consumer debt. Because of financial problems, mostly from credit card debt, approximately one in four families struggle to pay bills on even basic necessities such as mortgage, food, and utilities. And with millions of people desperately searching for a fresh start, North American Educational Services is here to help in your financial independence. We are very proud that the Debt Relief Educational Services Program has over 8,100 families nationwide since 1998, eliminating over $215 million of credit card debt, and still counting, and enabled clients to stop monthly payments immediately. The NAES program is unique, designed to help you, the consumer, not your creditors. To take back your financial freedom, call 1-888-245-7097. That's 1-888-245-7097. Or visit www.integritydebtoptions.com.
We've all considered solar power at one time or another, and self-sufficiency will be your key to a better future. Kelder can help you get off the grid and become self-sufficient with solar power, and for a lot less than you think. One of Ken's most popular items right now is the new solar power generator, for a lot less than you'd expect. This portable system can chop off nearly a third of your electric bill, a good start for any families out there wanting to get solar power for your home. Visit his website at kensolar.com for free downloads, free videos, and how-tos, and of course, the new solar power generator. Use the coupon code RBN with your purchase and save an additional 10% off your order. Get a solar power generator now from kensolar.com at 239-677-3073. Again, that's 239-677-3073 or on the web at kensolar.com. And solar, the home of all your solar needs. How are you preparing ahead for the events in the future? In the near future, we know there will be those of us that will not be able to buy or sell. Stoves & More wants to help give you the freedom from the systems of the world and from skyrocketing fuel prices. Stoves & More is a dealer for all Amish-built wood cook stoves that will give you an independence you need to cook your food, dry fruits and vegetables, heat your whole house water system, and heat your home. These state-of-the-art cook stoves are nothing like Grandma's old stoves. They have large, airtight, efficient fireboxes that give you an all-night burn, easily heating up to 2,000 square feet. Whether or not you're off the grid, we have products for you from stoves to Staber washers and 12 and 24 volt refrigeration. At Stoves & More, we have the perfect products to complete your preparations. To the first 10 people who purchase a stove, we'll send a free copy of our newly released DVD, Getting Started with Wood Cook Stoves. Stoves & More offers the best selection at lowest prices on the web, so visit us at www.stovesandmoreonline.com. That website again, stovesandmoreonline.com.
Welcome back. Glad you're here, folks. You are listening to Frankly Speaking Radio, tail end of hour number 3, and we're taking your calls here, 800-313-9443, because I know you're insightful folks. I know you've done your own research. I know you perceive things as you've heard them and said, wait a minute here, there's something that just doesn't hold up under scrutiny. Let's continue. Mike in Missouri, welcome to the show. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. I'm very good. Thank you.
Great. I was just listening to some of your commentary about the gun situation. I actually called in to talk to you about a few passport stories, but
oh, yeah.
Hearing your guests earlier. But on the gun thing, I would just real quick say that, I fear more for my friends who take Tylenol after a hard night of partying or drinking. Isn't the deaths on that like 70,000 a year in the U.S.?
It's a lot, yeah. I don't have the stats.
But, you know, I fear more for them than being around folks that have a gun.
Oh, yeah. Without a doubt. Absolutely.
Sure, and we don't hear much about that. And, you know, the same thing with medical doctors. I think JAMA did a study in, what, 97 that was pretty shocking. I think they found out that a local medical doctor, actually in the hospital, too, you're more likely to get killed by those than guns or car accidents combined. But we still don't hear an awful lot about it, you know, unless you're doing the research into alternative methods of treatments and so on. So, but yeah, on the earlier guest, I was going to tell you a couple true stories if it might help folks with the passport situation. I think only 20% of us have a passport in the United States. And when I was in New Zealand, I talked to a guy that had been over there at a hostel. He'd been working there for about 6 months, an American. And we were glad to be chatting with each other. And he told me he was pretty disappointed, though, because a lot of Americans that are traveling there over the last 6 months at that time had presented an American passport to about five or six different people. But of the five of the six lied to him about being American because – it's really difficult. It depends on what part of the world you're in, but you get a lot of flack, you know. Mm-hmm. And so these people were putting like Canadian maple leaf